It's the boss.
I call shots like a boss.
And the gloss.
Check out my lip gloss. I only rock clear.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Bundle home and auto and save. Visit progressive.com. Now broadcasting live from Radio Row in Las Vegas ahead of the big game. Here's David Gao
and Carla Dawson.
Welcome in, everyone. It is a delight to be here in Vegas. And when we went to break, we were going to talk about this phenomenon in the NFL that really now everybody's going for it on fourth down. I mean, I can remember watching guys like Bill Parcells. He would never go for it on fourth down. If it was fourth down, you always punted the ball. But now the bias is maybe almost on the other end of the spectrum, which is to go for it, at least with some teams. I mean, the Lions in particular and Dan Campbell, and in particular in that NFC Championship game, was far more aggressive than it made me comfortable. I understand analytics quite well, but there was a flow to that game where I feel like, particularly midway through the third quarter, he should have kicked field goal and taken 3 points as opposed to go for it on fourth down. But the league is certainly skewing toward being more aggressive on fourth down.
Yeah, I think that is a great point, David, because, you know, the proponents for going for it is that, you know, Campbell stayed true to his aggressive regular season ways. That was truly how he called the game all season. And Detroit owned like over a 52% success rate on fourth down conversions. However, I would say, Dan Campbell, this is not the regular season. You're in the NFC title game. This is for a trip to the Super Bowl. And I think that you can't measure everything in statistics and probabilities at that point. You know, I think his gamble turned to be costly. And what I think the numbers do not tell you, what the stats can't tell you, and all the sabermetrics is that, hey, Campbell, your left tackle was getting destroyed throughout the game. Destroyed. Your number two wide receiver, Reynolds, was dropping a couple of really key passes, okay? Then the psychological lift or the letdown that's attached to that decision. This is the game. Like, you can't afford a letdown. San Francisco was coming. They had the mojo. And then, you know, preparing your defense then. They've got to jump right back on the field and get an immediate – they got to go on stop mode right after that turnover. And so I guess the thought is – and then lastly I would say momentum is real. And you can't measure it on a stat sheet.
That's the rub. There's an emotional and there's a momentum element. And to me, in that game, of course, Lions were up by 17 at the half. And we all knew the 49ers were going to start with the ball. They were going to come down. We knew they'd get points, and they did. Credit them. They are that kind of a team. They came down the field. They got a field goal. Oh, my goodness. They've got a field goal. The gap is close to 14. Back came the Lions, and they got into field goal range. And now about half of the third quarter has been used up. The Falcons, I mean, if the Lions had just kicked a field goal then, it would still be a 17-point differential, and the 49ers would have made no inroads in the third quarter, and we were halfway through the third quarter. And I just think that trajectory of the game would have been great for the Lions. They still would have had a 17-point difference, but they went for it, and yes, the momentum at that point just felt like it totally shifted to the 49ers.
And think about it. They've got Brock Purdy at quarterback, San Francisco does, who is – you know, we all know he's Mr. Irrelevant, and he's amazing. But guess what? What is Brock Purdy's mentality like coming from a position of being tied when it gets to that?
Yes.
That's got to be a lot different than playing from ahead, especially for someone who doesn't have this big game experience that Brock Purdy does. You know, I will note that Dan Campbell, we love you. You and I were pulling for the Lions just because they're such a great story. But the word anal is in the word analytics.
Well, he was anally stubborn in that game.
Exactly is what I'm saying. And, you know, interesting to note, too, you look at the matchups this weekend with San Francisco and Kansas City, two of the most explosive and productive offenses in the NFL. Yet, both teams and coaches in Shanahan and Reid are on the conservative side in regards to fourth down attempts and two-point tries. So neither San Francisco or Kansas City converted a two-point attempt during the regular season. Neither of them converted it. Kansas City was 0 for 1. San Francisco 0 for 0. And San Francisco had the fewest fourth down conversion attempts, going for 7 out of 13. And Kansas City 10 out of 20. And look where they are. So if I'm Dan Campbell, I'm like, hey, appreciate the courage to do it and stick to what you know. These guys are in the Super Bowl and you were one game from it. Take some lessons here.
I think you really need to look back at that.
I think so.
To just go for it with a bald decision based on analytics does strike me as too strident a stance to take.
Yeah.
It would be, in Major League Baseball, obviously analytics and Moneyball came into play, but it would be like only buying into the numbers and not using your eye test, which is an important part of the whole process.
Absolutely. Here he comes. We got the man, the myth, the legend. Hey, Alexander. Welcome.
We have joining us here on set Alexander Mattison. He's a running back with the Vikings.
Yes, sir. And
running back number one.
RB1 this season. Took over the helm with the Vikings. Congratulations on a good season.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
And, of course, the Vikings, as we sit here, you guys had a great run. You had Kirk Cousins who was on fire for a window there. The games you lost were really close losses.
Yeah.
And then you got on a great streak. And then, of course, Kirk got the injury. And with Cousins out, it's awfully hard. Any team who loses their starting quarterback in the middle of the season typically has a big setback. Mm-hmm. But what about the state of the team now with Kirk Cousins? He is a free agent. He can go anywhere. What do you think it looks like at the quarterback position next year?
I don't know. I don't know what it looks like. I love Kirk.
Yeah.
One thing I can say is that's one guy that I wouldn't mind playing my entire career with. So.
And why is that? What makes him special?
He's a one-of-a-kind person. He's a one-of-a-kind quarterback.
Off-field as well as on-field.
Everything. Everything goes into the way that he is a leader, the way that he plays the game, the way that he thinks about the game. The way that he's a husband, a father,
Amen.
The man of faith that he is, if you were to draw up the perfect human being, you would probably just slap a picture of Kirk Cousins on the table and call it a day. That's the type of person that he is.
Alexander, an endorsement. That is amazing.
I mean it, too, like from the bottom of my heart. That's how I feel about him. He was the first person to text me when I got drafted. We were both picked 102, so we were able to relate there.
Wow.
But He's a guy that, second to none when it comes to the type of person that you want to be in life.
Mm-hmm.
That's Kirk Cousins for me.
Very impressive to hear.
Wow, I love hearing that. And you know what? You've been your whole career. You're going into year five.
Yeah.
The whole time with Minnesota.
Yeah.
Which is really impressive. So you know him well.
Yeah. 5 years with him, and
I hope you have more.
I'm praying I do too.
Bad luck. He has had some bad luck. But what about Kevin O'Connell as a head coach?
Love him. He's one of a kind when it comes to the way that he thinks about the game. I feel like he definitely has an it factor when it comes to how he thinks of plays, how he thinks of schemes, how he thinks of all these different things. And, it's just our job to make him look good. So looking forward to this year when we can go out there and have some confidence within the locker room and execute the positions that he puts us in. He puts us in great positions. Obviously, it comes with as a play caller. You never call the right play all the time. You just call the right play.
We were just talking about that. Yeah.
The defense either calls the wrong one or you have some guys that make some crazy plays. But you want to make sure you give credit where it's due. And he's one of those guys that deserves that credit. And he takes all the credit when things go the other way. And it's not always on him. But he's that type of guy. He's that type of person. He's an outstanding head coach.
Alexander, so you are now going to be running back number one, well-earned. So happy for you because this team is right there. They just keep being right there. And I think a breakthrough is happening. What does your offseason look like now? I mean, you're leading this room. You're the charge of the running back room. Tell us what's going on.
Yeah, this offseason is going to be back to the basics as far as, getting my body right, getting my mind right. And then just trying to train and be the best version of myself I could be. Year six, I wanted to be the best one. I wanted to be a year where, I prove something not only to myself, but prove something to the people that love me and prove something to the people that doubt me. It's one of those years for me where I think it's a year where I can stamp who Alexander Mattison really is. And so hoping I can do that and hoping I can do it with a lot of guys that I have to my left and to my right. That running back room with CJ and Ty and Kane. We have a great running back room, and I'm just excited to get back with those guys and put together something special.
And you will. I have no doubt.
Thank you.
Alexander Mattison is on set with us here, the running back for the Vikings. Sounds like you're a man of faith. And how does that influence your time on the field?
It's one of those things, I think, for me, I always tie it back to the fact that, I'm blessed to even be in this position. I'm blessed to even be playing football professionally. So every time I go out there, I don't take it for granted, and I just give all the glory to God for, you know, the path that I'm on. It's all a part of His plan. The things I'm able to do with the platform that I have is an extreme blessing.
Well, I'll tell you what, Alexander, we're from Houston, and the whole faith base from D'Amico Ryans to C.J. Stroud to Will Anderson on down that's going on has transformed that locker room. So if you ever want to get to some warmer temperatures, you're a perfect fit.
I appreciate that. I appreciate it.
But it is interesting, you make that point, Carla. There are some teams, it seems, that have a Christian community within the team. I don't know if that's true across the league, but it sounds like you've got that kind of community within the Vikings.
Yeah. There's a, just the pool of strong faith guys that we have. We have it available. Kirk Cousins, obviously, one of those guys that leads us that way. But we have it available. We have Catholic Mass. We have Chapel. We have a bunch of different things that we have every week available throughout the week. We have a Bible study throughout the week, and then Chapel pregame.
Wow.
I think, you know, I would hope that a lot of teams have it that way as well. But, yeah, we definitely make sure that we lean into that and provide that as an organization.
Alexander Mattison, running back of the Vikings. Have a great season next year.
Yeah, we can't wait
to
watch you.
Hope to convene with you next year. Have a great season with the Vikings.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Great to have you.
Yes, thanks for coming.
Thank you so much.